Well, as you, well, many of you know, but I will tell you again, we are in part three of Faithfulness in the Workplace, and we are talking about our mission of how God has called us to extend His kingdom, the gospel of His kingdom, His kingdom in everything that we do. And we spend most of our time in the workplace, so it's pretty important that we understand and engage with what He's doing in the places that we are and in the places where we spend the most time. So I've been loving it. And you got a great treat because we have two more specialists who are going to come and share how they're doing that in their workplace, their sphere of influence. And so they'll be coming up next. But I'm going to share today the point of emphasis in doing that. I want to share with you today that the mission that we have is an apostolic mission. And you might ask yourself, why do you keep throwing these different terms at us? Ecclesia, apostolic, what is this all about? Well, the reason why it's important that you understand this is because it's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are the assembly, the ecclesia, and that meant something specifically to the original listeners that they understood when he said ecclesia. He was using a secular term that meant the assembly of citizens of Rome, and that when they came together, they represented the rules and laws of Rome, and they actually represented with all the authority backing them to establish Rome wherever they were. So when he said, and I will build my ecclesia, they knew what he meant. Oh, you're talking about your assembly for your kingdom, that your people will come together with a mission and the backing of your kingdom to establish your kingdom everywhere we go. That's pretty exciting. It was very clear to them. Well, it's not as clear to us because we don't speak Greek, so we don't say ecclesia. We speak English, and most of the time that got translated as church, which is fine. Called out ones is also a part of the ecclesia, but that idea of assembly causes you to understand that idea of what it was in context causes you to understand your mission. Okay, so that's why we're clarifying these terms, because how many of you know it's hard to extend the mission if you don't know what it is? How many of you know what you don't know what it is? Yeah, that was a great sentence, Joshua. Good job. Okay. So here's the new word today that I want to unpack a little bit, or you've heard the word, but what does it mean? Apostolic. It comes from apostle. Now, apostle was another one of those words that was commonplace in the time that Jesus called his first 12 apostles. So he said, you are my 12 apostles. They knew exactly what that meant. That word apostle comes from the word apostolos. It's a Greek word, apostolos. And where it initially originated was with the Greeks, actually. Before Rome conquered the world, the Greeks were doing pretty darn good. And Rome actually took this, and they took this this word and this strategy, and they used it. But let me tell you what it is. Am I talking too fast? What it is actually, it was very akin to an admiral. The apostolos was the leader, initially, it's a naval term for the Greeks. He was a leader who led many, many ships, and they would go out with all the supplies, all of the manpower, all the things that they needed, and the apostolos, his job was to go, and where they would extend, they had everything, all the backing of Greece, to establish and colonize the place where they went, to bring the culture, the laws, the principles of Greece into that place. And when Rome overthrew everybody and they're running the show, they're like, this is a fantastic way to do business. And so what they would send is their apostolos, their apostle. And whether you were by land or by sea, what it meant was you went with all of the authority of Rome and all of the assets of Rome to establish the rule, the culture, and the laws of Rome and create little new parts of Rome that were now a part of the kingdom, extending that kingdom of Rome. And they did it in the spirit of those laws, in the spirit of those laws of Rome, which were pretty brutal, by the way. If you killed a Roman soldier, because they didn't do it with like peace and good feelings, they did it at the tip of the sword. So when you showed up, if you were going to mess with Rome, if you killed one Roman soldier, they would kill 10 citizens. Yeah. Woo. It's quite a return on investment, but not quite the way you want to go. So we don't represent that kind of a kingdom. Say amen. Okay, we represent a different kingdom. But what I want you to understand is that God used that same term when he gave us our mandate. And he said to those first apostles, and there were other apostles after them. We see Paul, we see Junia, a female apostle. We have mentions of other apostles. So it wasn't just the 12 apostles. They were the first apostles. But the kingdom has continued to extend, and the apostolic mission remains the same. I want you to just say that. My apostolic mission remains the same. Okay, you have an apostolic mission, and that's what I want you to understand today. For all of us that live somewhere and work somewhere, you have an apostolic mission in the place that you are. And you gotta catch this, or else life is very boring, very pointless, very frustrating. But if you catch this, life gets excited. A little harder, but a lot more fun. All right, so let me lay it out for you. So what is the apostolic mission that we have? Well, we find it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He is the main apostle, okay? Everything has been given to me. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, there's so much good stuff in there, but suffice it to say, Jesus said, if any two or more of you are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. You have all of the authority of the kingdom of heaven to back you extending my character, my kingdom, in line with who I am and what my Father desires in this earth. All right? And you know what he's not extending it with? A sword. He's extending it in the same way that he gave. What did Jesus come to do? Not to be served, but to serve. And he said, you do the same. He came to bless people that were cursing him. I want you guys to do the same. This is our apostolic mission. We live in such a way that everything that we do extends the kingdom in a way that looks just like the king. I don't think we can make it any more simple than that. But we do it in every single thing that we do. That's the apostolic mission. And he says, I want you to teach them, teaching all nations, baptizing all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything that I've commanded you. What does this have to do with the workplace? What I would like to suggest to you is that we start discipling the nations. We start teaching them about everything that our Father commanded us by working it out, living it out in the way that we operate in the workplace. I used the term last week, kingdom operators. I like that. It's like when you're operating, I'm a kingdom operator, all right? I have an apostolic mission that has to look like God in everything that I do. So whether I'm like shoveling manure or doing accounting, the way that I speak, the way that my face looks, that's my favorite one. There's a shirt that I think we should all get for Christ Center. Ooh, wouldn't this be fun? Let's do this, Carly. Let's get to the malarkey. And let's get this, a t-shirt that says, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. Isn't it amazing the power that we communicate through these beauties? The way that we operate, the way that we do what we do, the tone that we use, the actions that we have, the quality of our work speaks of the kingdom that we're extending. That is our apostolic mission. We are absolutely to represent Christ in the quality of what we do. Are you with me? And I hope by the Holy Spirit in his kindness that he is bringing some of us to repentance right now because the quality of our work sucks right now. And you are not engaged in your apostolic mission when the quality of your work sucks. Don't tell them you're a Christian. Your work should cause people to look at who you are, how you are, the way that you treat others, the excellence of your work, the hope that you carry, the joy and peace that you have in the midst of difficulties, because how many of you know this world's got difficulties, that causes people to question the kingdom that you're from. Where are you from? What world do you live in? My wife did this within our own marriage. She began to worship the Lord and to seek him daily in a way that was different than I was back when I was 24 years old, 23 and 24 years old, and began to provoke me to jealousy. I knew Jesus at this point, but my wife lived better than me, and we had the same life. And I came and I said, what are you doing differently? You're living better than me. And it began a journey for me that set me free from alcoholism, workaholism, pornography addictions. This began a whole transformation in my life while Karen was being faithful in her workplace, which was taking care of two old dudes, 86 and 88, and one little four-year-old, my daughter Mercy, and this chucklehead. And I would say that she is pretty darn successful. Amen? I can focus. Lord, you can help me. Quality of work. Quality of work. So here's what I want us to understand. In our apostolic mission, you are already encountering and in touch with so many people. I was talking with Aaron Oaks, and I was sharing with him, because we've been talking with a lot of people about this, and just asking, like, hey, how do we best support the work that God's called all of us to in the workplace? How do we best support that as we're talking about this, what do we need to talk about? And Aaron brought up the fact, he said, you know, the truth is that Monday through Saturday, that's where all the action's at. That's where you're running into and being a part of extending the kingdom. This is wonderful. This is, we come together, we get recharged, we speak of the vision, we remember who we are and we're up to, but then we leave empowered and hopefully filled fresh with the Holy Spirit and vision and clarity and forgiveness. By the way, we take communion to remind ourselves, like, boy, do I need some grace sometimes. But we head back out, and that's where the action is. That's where we extend the kingdom. And he brought this up. I thought it was great. And I want to just share this with you. How many people that each of us affects each week, for better or for worse, for some of us this week, if it was terrible last week, this week, do better. Get up. Let's do it. You've got an apostolic mission. But think about it. You know, he was just thinking about one day. He's like, man, the gas station, when I go pick up some snacks, working with coworkers, working with customers. Who are the people that you're serving? Where's the school that you go to? Where's the encounters that you have, the boards that you serve on? All of these things, these are all interactions. And in every single situation, you and I are called to see ourselves on mission with an apostolic mission to extend the kingdom through the excellence of our service. So what does his kingdom look like? I want each of us to leave with this, and we're going to get to the specialists here in just a couple of moments. I want us to leave with an idea of an impact that we can have when we understand the mission that we're on. And we share Isaiah 61 often, and we pray the Lord's Prayer often. So I'm just going to grab two little excerpts from that. But first of all, what does it say? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Let your kingdom come. Where? On earth. That means everything that's going on in heaven, God wants that to be going on earth, in your workplace, in your space. For as much as you have responsibility and influence for, you're responsible to bring it personally, and you're praying blessing over everything that you're in, that God would bring it, because how many of you know we can't do it without him? Apart from him, we can do nothing. But we're seeing that. We're saying, God, what would it look like if you're the CEO of this company? What would you do differently than what I'm seeing right now? I'm going to pray that. I'm going to release that blessing. How many of you guys know that we came not to curse, but to bless? So what are the blessings that you can pray over that place, but also what can I see that I need to bring? In Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. How many of you know your job is to bring good news? He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison, comfort all who mourn. How many people do you run into every day that you see that they're filled with a sense of hopelessness? They're filled with pain. They're filled with disappointment. Every one of us faces troubles. We believers face it too. We don't get a get out of troubles card. We actually get a go to where the troubles are and bring peace with you card. We actually show the love of Christ through what we choose to suffer, as well as what we'll already naturally suffer. But we carry that. We bring that. That's part of our apostolic mission, and we actually do that in the workplace. I was talking with Aaron Oaks, as I said, and he was sharing about something like, what would this look like? Well, first of all, it's always about the quality of your work, okay? The actual service you do needs to be something that people look at and go, wow, I love that I can count on you. I love that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. You don't rob me of my money by giving me time where you didn't do what you said. How many of you guys know that that's stealing? It's actually stealing. You're stealing from your employer when they say, I will pay you to do this, and you go, okay, I'll do half of it. Or I'll do it twice as long as what I said. You're stealing. You have an apostolic mission to show the excellence of the kingdom. Stop stealing money from your employer. It's not helping. But when you go and show the excellence of God in what you're doing, they begin to come and say, my goodness, what are you about? And here's the second thing that it always involves, by the way. Who are you serving? You're serving people. This is the greatest prize unto God. He has created us and wants us to live eternally and not die. And he's saying, I want you to live in such a way that people see the excellence of who you are and the kingdom that you're a part of. And they actually come and they go, what is the deal with you? I want to have lunch with you. Tell me what's going on. You treat me differently than other people. Aaron shared with me how he would go down to Pillar to Post. And for those of you that knew Janae McWilliams, that girl was like an encouragement explosion. He would walk in and just to say, hi, hey, Janae, how you doing? And she would go, Aaron Oaks. You know, anybody remember that? Like she's looking right into your soul. You're like, ooh, have I repented of everything today? Okay. Aaron Oaks, you might not know this, but you are such an encouragement to people, and you just walk in a generosity that impacts people in a way that I think you need to understand, because I don't think you understand the impact you have. And she shared a story of him giving a beanie to a girl in youth group years ago, and how it had had such a massive impact on her. And she had shared third person to Janae, and Janae's now reflecting it back. Now, how hard is that to share a story of how somebody is being excellent in their area or in their field as a human? Just simply showing gratitude. It's not hard at all, but I gotta tell you, it is profound, the power of encouragement. And you know what's interesting? It's rather rare, isn't it? But that's the kingdom of which you're a part. Your apostolic mission, one of the assets you have, we got that picture of the admiral, right? The apostle heading out with all the ships, all the assets you need, all the manpower you need to finish the mission, to bring the kingdom, is backing you. Jason, why don't you go ahead and bring up our first specialist? Is backing you to be able to work your mission. And one of those things is encouragement. Amen? Amen. I was asking Andrew Mills. I said, hey, what's something, there are so many of these great stories, but I'll share this one. What's something that you guys do at Pillar to Post as a kingdom operator where you're bringing something that you're bringing in non-religious language to extend the kingdom and to bring a culture of God's design and desires in your business? And he said, you know, one of the things that we constantly remind ourselves is that it's about them. It's not about us. When we're working with people, it's about them. It's not about us. Well, what is that kingdom principle? Think of others as better than yourself. I came to serve and not to be served. Love others as I have loved them. That's a kingdom principle that's happening in his workplace in non-religious language, but that extends the kingdom of heaven. And how many of you know that we're here to extend the kingdom? And as we do that, humans flourish. The place is a better place to live, and God continues to work that. And many times, some will be saved as well. Amen? All right. Jason, Paul, so glad you're here. Take it away.
Thank you, sir. This is Paul Gunderson. All right, great job. You're done. Paul, tell us what you do.
My title is Director of Surgical Services at McKenzie Willamette Medical Center. What that means is that basically anything to do with surgery, I'm over trying to make it as efficient as possible, make sure the patient experience is good, and just that we're running, that I'm working with surgeons, I'm working with about 150 employees. And so obviously I don't have the nuts and bolts of every day, but overall working to make sure everything's running smooth and we're running as efficiently as possible, fit as many surgeries in as possible, and do it with quality.
And you're a nurse. You've been a nurse for a long time.
I am a nurse, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so can you tell us, what is, this is kind of a funny question, what's something challenging about your job? Because every part of what you're describing sounds incredibly challenging to me.
Yeah, it's a high-stress environment. And as you can imagine, I work from people like that are housekeepers in the operating room all the way to surgeons. And as you can guess, I mean, surgeons aren't always the easiest to work with. A lot of times, you know, someone will be like, have one experience happen, one bad one time, and then they're in my office talking to me about it. And so sometimes it's always triaging. It's figuring out, like, is this important or is this a one-off, you know, and trying to work through that. And then just having to communicate with all the other team members, try to figure out how to better solve it so it doesn't happen again. That's one area that's been a little bit tricky. There's just so many variables. And it just takes one patient to actually have a successful surgery from the time it's scheduled to the time that they leave the hospital. And it's and there's about 100 things that are trying to make that not go right on a given day. And so I have an amazing team that I get to lead. And obviously, without them, I wouldn't be successful in this role.
Yeah, but you know, without you, they wouldn't be successful either. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, Paul, what are you finding success in?
I think just building trust. What I've figured is just building trust with my employees. A lot of times in the different facilities they've been in, if you go to the director's office, it's kind of, they always say it's like equal to going to the principal's office. And that's, I'm like, am I that scary? Like, please, no. I want to be able to touch base with them. Like, hey, how's your husband doing? How's your wife doing? You know, if I hear something's going on in their life, and then just to like encourage them. So that has built a lot of trust with them, and that they know that. I think what Josh was talking about too today is just talking about that having a face that welcomes and that shows that I'm welcoming them, that I'm for them, encouraging them, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right on. Both our phones with our notes are going blank. We should have set the auto lock on here. Come on, it's my face, but it's got the microphone in the way. So Paul, what unique gifts do you bring to the table?
Well, that requires a story. So I've been a nurse for about 20 some years, and then in my facility, I've been there for 10 years, and I was in a. I've worked in the areas around the operating room, but I've never been an OR nurse. And an OR nurse is really highly specialized. Takes a year of training, way more than almost any other type of nurse. And I've never been that nurse. So I knew very little about the OR. But I did work around the OR, and then I was given the opportunity to step into a management role. It was only gonna be short term. I didn't want that. It was just like, they asked me to, I'm like, I'll do it for 2 months. And that was over like the pre-op patients and then post-op, but never over the OR. And actually, I found that I kind of liked it. It was good. And I felt like my employees were, I had their respect and felt like I was doing a good job with it, and I really enjoyed it. There's always problems to solve. I really love like making things better. And so they like it when they give me when they say, hey, this needs to be fixed. I'm like, okay, I'm on it. And then, you know, try to get it fixed. So then after being in that role for about 5 months, I had some of the OR nurses saying, hey, when are you gonna step into the director role over the OR and over all the departments? I said, first of all, I don't have any experience in the OR, so I don't think that's good. And then plus, we currently have a director, and I don't think she'd like you talking about that right now. And then it was July of 2022, and Sheila and I and the kids were coming into church, and then Janelle Wallace saw us, and she's like, hey, Paul, that reminds me. I had a dream about you last night. And I was like, okay. So she proceeded to share, and I definitely needed to fix my auto lock here.
You know, sometimes Janelle Wallace has dreams about me, and she'll come in and be like, you were such a jerk in my dream. Don't talk to me. True story. Sorry, that was an aside.
So anyway, she said, in the dream, I saw an operating room and which I don't know much about, Janelle said, and you were dressed in scrubs. You really felt, I really felt like the Lord was saying that he is pleased with you and the way you're carrying his name in that place, and he is going to increase your responsibility and influence. And right then, I knew the Lord was calling me into this role. I felt like I had no business even entertaining the idea. And he was saying I was capable, and he was the one leading the charge. So basically, the OR staff primed the pump for me to even have this as a thought. And then the Holy Spirit worked through Janelle, and she shared that with me. And the only reason I'm in this role today is because of those couple of things. I knew it was the Lord behind the scenes working in that situation. So it was so encouraging. Sometimes people say, hey, I had this dream or I had this word for you, and it doesn't always connect, but that one I knew right away, and it was really, really cool.
That's awesome. So how long have you been in this role? That was 2 years ago, you said? Is that right?
That was two summers ago, and okay. Then so I've been in this role about 15 months now.
Okay, so with all these immense challenges, all this high-stress environment, how do you remind yourself to stay on mission as an apostle for the kingdom?
I wanted to say a little bit about what else I was talking about first.
You go right ahead.
All right, so I just wanted to say that my biggest asset had nothing to do with how much I knew going into this role. And that was kind of the cool thing, is that the people saw me as a gifted leader of people. And they wanted a leader, and they said, we got all the other skills covered. You don't need any skills. And they still laugh thinking about some of the naive questions I would ask from the get-go. But I normally we're sitting there saying, I got to gain all the skills right now so that I can walk into that in the future. I had no dreams of walking into this, and the Lord made that happen. And so just because, you know, I didn't know something doesn't mean he can't make that happen, surround the right people around me to make that happen. So as far Fantastic. As your next question was...
Yes. How do you remind yourself to stay on mission?
Yeah, I can tend to be very task focused. You can ask my family, and so a lot of times at work, there's a lot of tasks to be done. I got a running list always, and so it's easy sometimes to forget the people are in the process. You know, the people in the middle there. But a couple of things that are imperative for me that I found over the years is to make sure I have that grounding. The grounding time in the morning, like I wake up pretty early, even though I don't have to be to work right away, but just a time to pray, a time to think about my day when no one else is up, and being able to actually get grounded before the day starts. A regular exercise routine I've found is extremely important for me too, to when I'm walking into situations, I got surgeons blaming me for things, or I got other people that are frustrated, and that I don't get a defensive response. I do that sometimes, and then I have to say, I'm sorry, I wish I would have done it this way. And that's part of that building trust thing. It's not like I walk in this perfectly, but having that grounding time allows me to be a lot more successful in my engagement with people when they're frustrated. And I'm naturally conflict avoidant, so I usually will try to avoid all that stuff, but the Lord has given me a lot of confidence in helping me understand the importance of working through conflict, and conflict's not a bad thing. So those are a couple of the things that I felt in that regard.
That's good stuff, Paul. Paul Gunderson, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Erastus Owino. Oh, there you are. Here comes Erastus Owino, who goes by Owino, in case you're wondering. He is from the nation of Namibia. I know he looks Swedish, but he's not. He gets that all the time.
Good morning, Christ Center.
Owino, what do you do for work?
Well, I work for the City of Eugene Public Works. I work in maintenance division. I take care of all the sewer lines and all the storm drains.
The stuff underground.
Yeah, things that you don't see. You just flush the toilet and, you know, you see water and then it's all of a sudden disappeared. We take care of all of that.
I thought that just worked magically. I didn't know that anyone had to do anything there. Thank you, Owino, for what you do. Appreciate that. You've been there for a long time. Well, for 6 years now, right?
Yeah, coming up at 6 years. Yeah.
Okay, so tell us what do you find that's challenging in your context?
Well, people.
Sewer lines are easy. It's the people.
That's right. People can be challenging sometimes because we have 7 Vector trucks. So we the city is divided in like 7 sections. So I have my own section. Part of that is the airport. And what's really challenging about that is that, you know, being able to schedule and get your work done. You know, everything is loud. Nobody wants you to be on the road, even though you're doing great work. So that can be challenging. Also, in addition to that, it's just people just don't understand what you do until you actually get a chance to explain what you do. One of the scenarios is there was this business that was plugged up completely. It's actually a restaurant, so they can't flush the toilet. We know how that goes, right? They have to get all their customers out. I show up, I get them unplugged. I became a hero all of a sudden. But those are the same people. When you pull into the parking lot, the truck is too big. What are you doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating. I'm saving your life, people. That's what I'm doing. You're also talking about, you've had some real favor in this job. You've been promoted a couple times in your first 6 years, and that's been hard for some of the people you work with because there's a lot of politics involved in a lot of workplaces, but government jobs especially, there's an extra level of that. So how do you deal with that?
Well, just walking in the presence of God. That's one of the most important thing that I carry when I wake up in the morning. I ask the Lord to carry me with his presence. And what that means to me is that people will always say or do things to you, not knowing what you're going through, where you come from, or what, you know, who you are. But the way I do that is I carry a smile on my face every morning, every evening, every day. That's just what I do. So there was a scenario where there were some positions open. So I applied for it. I was only there for about 3 years at a time. I'm talking about, you know, getting promoted. So I got promoted 2 times so far, ever since I've been there. Josh was talking about operators. I became one of the operators of the city of Eugene. And I was the first one as African-American, so it was really like, oh, I guess, you know, the world has really changed. So it was a lot of that politics going on, going into it. So I had a lot of people that were like, well, I've been here for 20 years. I should have gotten that job, you know, kind of like, you know, trying to take me down and whatnot. What I didn't do, I didn't react, right? I let God handle all of that. One of the best things that I did, I actually try to set up coffee dates with these people so I can actually get to know them. Because sometimes people react, but not knowing what they're going through either. So I had that wisdom to just try to get to know them. Maybe there's something else there that happened in the past that I don't know. And if I could be helpful, I'm there for that.
That's good stuff. And you having coffee with people or having meals with people, this happens a lot. It's not always, I mean, you have these people you're talking about, you reaching out to. But maybe, probably more than any person I know, people ask you, can I have coffee with you? And people from your job are doing this all the time.
Yeah, I get that a lot. And if I had a lot of time, I would be having coffee every weekend with multiple people.
Who are coming to you and saying, I want to get to know you.
Yes. And that happens from the high officials to the person that just started yesterday.
So what are those conversations like?
Well, it's so sometimes I get invited to some of the meetings that are really important. And then I get to meet people that are really high in the government. And, you know, again, then you get a chance where they want to get to know you. They want to understand why you think a certain way, why you carry yourself a way that you carry yourself, why you smile all the time, you know? Why do you care so much, and why do you just, you know, they see That thing that we all carry is the presence of God that surrounds you, right? When you have that in you, you can't hide. People can see it. And when people come up to me, hey, I would like to get to know you. What makes you who you are? And usually I get all this, you know, schedule and meet with people. What this does is that, you know, probably 80% of the people that I met with, some of them actually came to the Lord. But it starts with talking about work at work in these meetings. And all of a sudden, it's just me and that this one dude maybe in a Starbucks. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're talking about what makes you a good husband. How do you raise your kids? You know, how do you actually carry yourself in a way that is presentable? And, you know, what makes you get that job? Because you just started here. I've been here for 20 years. Can you tell me some of your secrets? In the end of all this, I'm like, hey, can I pray for you? Is there a way I can pray for you? You know, and you know, that's how I minister in a workplace.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. I was thinking about the way that we used to think and talk about what it meant to like be a witness for Jesus. And the idea I always had in my mind was like, everyone's supposed to know you're a Christian, you know? So then we, you know, take the easy way out and get bumper stickers and things like that. And like, so yeah, I'm being a witness, but it doesn't provoke the questions, does it? That doesn't provoke any of that of like life on life sharing. So I love the fact that they're coming to you based on the fact that they say Jesus, they see Jesus in you, and that's provoking questions. And the thing I love about Awino's story is that it was probably about 8 years ago or something, he was working another job, and he was telling us all about these conversations, because this has followed this man everywhere. And he does, we can acknowledge, you know, like we've said with different people, God's given us all different, you know, very unique gifts for where we are. And he has given this man an awesome smile, first of all, and this charisma, right? That you just want to be around him. Not all of us got that kind of smile or that charisma, but you took what you had in these different workplaces, and you were telling Joshua and I over lunch one day about these incredible stories that you're having with these people who were like, can you talk to my son? My son is a troubled teenager. Can he just have a meal with you? And these kinds of things. Yeah. And we're just blown away by what you're telling us. And at the end, you're like, so anyway, well, after all these stories and our eyes are wide, you're like, well, but anyway, I really think I really want to be a pastor. And so can you guys pray for me and so we were like, look, and you remember this. You remember this meal.
I do.
Yeah. Because he didn't realize, oh my goodness, like you are touching all of these people as a pastor. God put you right there with this incredible gift, right where you are in places that a pastor on stage could never reach.
Yep.
And so I reached over and I did this. I looked him in the eyes and I said, brother, you are wrong. I don't think I've ever said that like that in this kind of meeting before. But it was so apparent that God was using him where he was with what he had. And maybe God still calls him into full-time vocational ministry. Is that still a desire you have?
Yes, that was a very difficult conversation, I remember. For those that don't know me quite, before I came to the United States, I was in YWAM for 6 years. But also in addition to that, I was a youth pastor in a church for about 4 years. So when I came to the United States, I didn't really have a whole lot going on for me as far as ministering to people. So there was a time that about 8 years ago when I met with Jason and Josh, I was like, hey, guys, I don't know. I don't have anything going on for me, because 12 hours a day, I was, you know, working with orphanages. I was coaching soccer.
This is back in Africa.
Back in Africa back then. So when I came here, I felt like everything is just like put to pause. And I didn't really have a whole lot going on for me. That's when I met with these guys, something that really happened to me is that God had to remind me I'm in a different season. You know, at this point, I had to work with what I got. You know, I didn't have to tell people that I'm a Christian. I just had to walk around, you know, at work, be nice to people. Just try to be the best version of yourself. People can see that. They can sense that. And when they do that, they want to be around you, you know. You don't have to be good looking. You just have to be a child of God, right? And when that happen, when that happens, they are drawn to you. And what you do, it just bring them back to Christianity in a way that is not threatening. Because in my position, if I say anything about the Lord at work, I could lose my job in a blink of an eye. So I found ways to do it without having to do that. But I'm still leading people to the Lord, just in a different way. It's really all wisdom, and it's really all just relying on God.
And it's all about embracing where you are right here. And I just want to say, there might be a lot of you guys that have a desire for something different and new. And that is not wrong. That is a good and beautiful and right desire. So keep on asking God for that. But wherever you are right now, see what he's given you. And that's what happened with this man. I think his eyes opened and he saw what he's been given. And now he's thriving as an apostle in his workplace. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Owino.
Thank you, Jason.
You're a good man. Pastor Joshua.
Owino, why don't you stay up here? I'm gonna have Owino pray and close us out today. But I felt like the Lord just wants me to say to you, you're on mission with him. You're on mission with him. He is with you where you are. And your work matters. This life tests us, but everything's not just an arbitrary test. Like, he's not going to waste your life. I feel like the Lord just wants you to receive that. I will not waste your life, says the Lord. And I believe that there's a place here that God just wants to heal your heart, because be it the enemy, be it a lie that you believed, be it an experience that you're misinterpreting, you kind of come to believe that what you're doing right now doesn't matter. There's some people here, and maybe on some level we've all had those seasons or parts of our life, that it's like it doesn't matter. It's just the grind. And that is just not true. That is not from the Lord, because he is with you. And if he's placed you there, it's because there is work that matters and there are people that matter. And I feel like the Lord wants to invite you to repent from whatever lie it is that you're believing, but then repent unto that he is trustworthy and he's not going to waste your life. This isn't an invitation to like you should or you ought to. This is an invitation of like, hey, great news. Your father's with you. He's trusted you with the work that's in front of you right now. And it matters to him. It matters to the people that you're serving. And it's okay to matter to you. Now, he is the God that says that if you're faithful in little, you'll be given much. And sometimes that means greater responsibilities. Oftentimes it does. Sometimes that means a different job, and oftentimes it does. But what it always means is that God himself can trust you more. And he can entrust you with more of his presence and anointing. This is what Owino is talking about. This is what last week when Abby shared. Abby's in a season right now, right, where she's a full-time volunteer at home. But I will tell you this. Abby walks with a weight of the presence of the Lord that people, including myself, seek out. She is faithfully stewarding what God has given her in the books here, in the groups that she leads. But the majority of her time is in these young saints, God's kids, that he's entrusted to her. And as she's done that and walks with him, he has entrusted her with greater influence in the lives of many of you in this house. And she's able to bring you into contact with the wisdom and the discernment and the power of God moving in your lives. And how many of you guys have experienced that? Like, literally, raise your hand. Yeah. So no matter what, God is not wasting what he's doing with you. So I just feel like Owino's going to pray whatever the Lord puts on his heart. But if you're in a place right now where this affects you, where you're like, I just need to remember how much my work matters, whether it's great or little, I just want you to stand up. If that's you, I want you to just take that step and say, Lord, I need a refreshment here in letting my work matter. I need to re-engage with how you see this. Please stand up. And I feel like the Lord just wants to minister to your heart. He's with you. and he will not waste you. You are precious, and he's chosen you specifically for the mission that you're on now, tomorrow, and always. And he'll determine that, but he will not waste your life.
Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your kindness, your love, your passion, how faithful you are. We can't live without you. We are so thankful that you're here, and we pray for your presence to go with us everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. What a mighty God we serve. I pray that you give us the refreshment of your glory.
Yes.
I pray that your fire will be upon us. I pray that you will be part of every decision and everything we do in our lives, because at the end of the day, it's all about you. We are absolutely nothing without you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We open up our hearts and would like to receive your passion. We would like to receive your glory. Help us become men and women that you have called us to be, to fulfill the mission. You're great. You're wonderful. You are an awesome God. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. We worship you with everything that's within us. Mm-hmm. Everything that has breath should praise the Lord Almighty. Mm-hmm. Thank you that we can continue to serve, yes, in our workplaces. We can continue to serve at home, everywhere we go. I pray that we'll become more and more of vessels and ambassadors of Christ. Everywhere we go, that people recognize and be touched by your glory that's shining upon us, oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless your heart. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to every burden that the enemy has put upon you, and I command it to be removed right now. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would know the Father as he is. You would know yourselves as he knows you, and that you would be reestablished in the joy of the Lord as your strength.